Hi, I'm Dr. Jesse Henson, and I'm inviting you to join me on Lead with Heart. We explore how the mind, body, relationships, and culture contribute to transformative leadership. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Hello, and welcome to Lead with Heart, the show where we explore the internal landscape of leadership, the place where strategy meets soul. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Henson, and I'm excited to enjoy this experience with you guys as I host the premiere episode of Lead with Heart. As a psychologist and also holistic healer for the last 25 years, I've learned so much about human beings in general. I've had the honor of working with top-level leaders, celebrities, medical doctors, lawyers, as well as pulling people out of the ditches from overdoses on A&E's intervention TV show. It's been quite a wild ride, and all of it has been inspired by my own personal healing journey that started, just as my path did professionally, about 25 years ago. So on this show, this premiere episode, I'm going to take some time to help my viewers better understand the brain-body connection and the value of integrating ancient wisdom with modern science. And I humbly admit that is my personal path that I've walked, is through different types of healing, I have started to realize that there's actually a perfect bridge between what ancient wisdom teaches us and what modern neuroscience and quantum physics is uncovering in terms of how the brain body work together and how ultimately we create our lives. So I've had the honor, as I shared, of working with many different types of people. And one thing that was fascinating to me is that whether I was working with top-level CEOs or people that were at a rock bottom on intervention or other recovery-based work that I've done, is that us humans, we're all working with some of the same core struggles, feelings around abandonment, feelings around being inundated or controlled, and the levels of dysfunction, let's call it, how much am I out of balance, is highly related to that person's emotional operating system, or EOS, as I like to jokingly call it. So what I want to explore with you guys on this show is redefining leadership, redefining who leaders are, redefining the ways in which we value the value of the heart in balance with the mind. My experience in working with so many leaders is that while there's a lot of success and a lot of brilliance, there's often a price that's paid in their home life or in their family life or even in their own inner world, their feelings of overwhelm, stress, anxiety, pressure. All these themes are very common amongst leaders. So on this show, I'm going to be inviting in top-level leaders, innovators, healers, different styles of leaders that we don't always think of as leaders, and we're going to have some heartfelt conversations, drawing from their own personal experiences, being able to extract the wisdom that's accessible for all of us. So before we dive into that, I wanted to give you guys a little bit more personal understanding of my own path and who you're listening to on this show. I have come to understand myself as someone that's good at helping bridge the worlds between what is often called woo-woo or ancient spirituality with modern neuroscience. And through that process, it is from my own learning, I ended up doing a lot of my own personal work in my early 20s that was more in a holistic, alternative way. And it was in my late 20s that I decided to take the brave path of getting a combined master's and PhD in clinical psychology, specializing in neuropsychology and something that's called relational therapy within our own bodies and how we interact with others. And what I've learned through all of that is that we really are all on this same journey. And the more that we know ourselves inside and out, the better we can show up as leaders, as husbands, as wives, as workers, whatever our role is. And so while the information I want to share is geared towards all humans, we're going to really specifically look at leadership and how and why certain people rise into leadership. And once we have achieved that leadership, how do we best be of service to others to create further positive force in this world, in this universe, and how we impact people. So I thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to moving through this stage today where I'm going to talk more about concepts like consciousness, like trauma, like understanding the brain-heart coherence. And I'm ultimately going to put forward a path or an algorithm about understanding how we redefine leadership and how we redefine who we see as leaders. So thank you so much for joining me today. As we dive deeper into this, I want to name, as the title of this show suggests, Lead with Heart, that vulnerability is such a key part of leadership. And vulnerability is so often misconstrued and misunderstood to be weakness. And I want to dispel that myth as both a psychologist, as a healer, as a father, as a human. Vulnerability, when we learn how to wield it well, is actually an amazing, empowering tool that not only helps us create deeper connection, but it allows us to actually know ourselves deeper. And through that knowing, we can begin to become even more conscious leaders. So all of this is to say that the main thing I've noticed now in 25 years of experience and working at different amazing locations, a lot of it was in California, working with high-level celebrities and doctors and lawyers. And what I realized is one of the first big hurdles is just acknowledging that it is okay to do personal development work. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're messed up. It simply means you are human and it is okay. And one of the most common things that I would always hear in working with people, getting to know them better, is they would often say everything is fine. And I invite you to pay more attention in your daily life to the use of the word fine as opposed to good or great or things are okay. Oftentimes there's a lot more embedded underneath that word fine. So in the back office of the psychology suite, we have a saying that fine actually stands for freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And that is often the case when we are talking about things that are fine, there's things underneath the covers of that we don't really want to talk about. And so that is the first invitation and the first piece of really understanding more conscious leadership is that whether we like it or not, we do need to become vulnerable. Now, that does not mean posting all of your hardest feelings and secrets over the internet. It simply means being willing to admit that we are human. And then within the whole business architecture, I think that is something else that is overlooked. We'll get into this deeper in a further segment about redefining leadership, but that oftentimes it's easy to see where the humanness has been taken out of business. We forget that business is still being done with human beings who have their own heart and soul and emotions and everything else that us wild, wonderful humans have. And so as I've worked with and been able to witness the magic of what happens when a leader, and I've had the blessings of working of not only celebrities, but also leaders who influence multi-billion dollar companies as well as million dollar companies. And it is so magical for me to witness and hold that space for them and to see them do the work and begin to know thyself. And the byproduct is to lead with heart naturally. The more I know myself, the more I look at my own shadows, my own places where I get triggered or activated and do the work around that, the more that I can step up and truly lead with heart. So as we explore this deeper, that is going to be one of the challenges and invitations and also amazing growth spots, because what happens when any of us are vulnerable, it starts to create a culture or a imprint in the space, especially when we are a leader. And again, I'm thinking about even parents as leaders of families, as religious pastors and rabbis and all different forms of religious leaders, as people that influence many. When those leaders can exemplify and role model vulnerability, it changes the way that everyone feels they can show up in the space too. And this phenomenon within the nerdy realms of my academic pursuits is called interpersonal psychoneurobiology. It's a mouthful, and basically it simply means interpersonal, that we impact each other, that so much of our communication is nonverbal, is from within body language and within things that we don't say as much as what we do say. Interpersonal, psychoneurobiology, the psychological, the neurological, and the biological. So when you weave this massively large word together, what you get is this beautiful science that helps explain how, in reference to leadership, leadership trickles down. If we have a CEO who is not necessarily doing their own personal development work and helping better themselves and are coming into work with anger or anxiety or even heaviness, sadness, ungroundedness, believe me, I've seen it all, that trickles down into everyone. It trickles down into how everyone feels. So when any human steps up to better themselves and better understand that, you know, going to do personal development work, dare I say it, going to therapy is not a bad thing. It means I want to be a better person. And who the heavens wouldn't want to be a better person, right? So when we look at all that and we bring in this nerdy phenomenon of interpersonal psychoneurobiology, what we come to realize is that we are literally all impacting each other all the time. Sometimes, especially I mentioned I had a lot of life in California, they would call this feeling the vibes. But what it really means in science is noting the electromagnetic frequencies that we emit off of our body, depending on our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts, our beliefs, how we hold ourselves. This is all the ways that we are impacting each other, and all the time. It's happening all the time. And to me, that is one very important piece that a conscious leader starts to understand, is just how much their own way of being and their way of showing up impacts everyone that works with them in that community, in that work organization. Much the same as when this happens, I've also been a psychologist to many families, and I am a father of my own children, and so I know this to be true. The same is so true in families, in how the parents show up is directly imprinting the nervous systems, psyche, and soul of all of the little ones, whatever age they are, underneath the parents. In that way, I have often also attested that, you know, running a successful company from a ethical and conscious leading with heart place is not that far removed from being a more conscious, loving parent. And yet, of course, there still needs to be boundaries. There still needs to be elements of how things are regulated and productivity continues to happen. Ironically, what I would say is that when I have seen this kind of leadership shift and more what I call lead with heart, ironically, despite the thoughts of, but if we let more humanness be here, if we let more heart be here, then productivity is going to go down. Ironically, it's the opposite. The organizations where I've worked with, where they actually allow and encourage creative times and fun times and breaks and a culture that is more heart-centered, guess what? The productivity goes up despite what our logical mind might think. So I'm very excited to continue this conversation with you guys. When we come back from the break, we're going to look deeper at the science of what's called brain-heart coherence. So stay tuned here on Now Media Television. This is Lead with Heart. I am Dr. Jesse Hansen. Looking forward to continuing this conversation soon. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Hi, I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and I'm inviting you to join me on Lead with Heart, a weekly show on Now Media Television focused on awakening a new kind of leadership, one rooted in embodiment, awareness, and human connection. Every episode of Lead with Heart goes beyond corporate models and surface metrics. We explore how the mind, body, relationships, and culture contribute to transformative leadership. If you're a leader, healer, entrepreneur, or innovator who brings a story of personal evolution, team impact, or leadership beyond the status quo, I'd love to feature you as a contributor. Lead with Heart airs on Now Media Television Networks, the first bilingual medial network in the U.S., and it's also available on Roku TV, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and all major podcast platforms. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Welcome back to Lead with Heart. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Lead with Heart and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Prefer audio? Catch the podcast version anytime at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle and culture, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready when you are. All right, welcome back to Lead with Heart. This is still the premiere episode where we're taking a deeper dive into understanding the brain-heart coherence. So in this segment, I'm going to offer my viewers the chance to better understand how their own brain body works from a very simplified, direct way. So let's start with our origin stories. All of us come from conception. Sperm and egg come together. And as we first form, we actually, ironically, under a microscope, look a little bit like a sea monkey. And that sea monkey, that tail, becomes our spinal cord. And that spinal cord and all the nerves that originally start, essentially the very first physiological essence of who we are, is called the polyvagal nervous system. There's an entire approach called the polyvagal theory, which is huge in the understanding of creating calm and clear consciousness, as well as a lot of different healing modalities. But for now, follow me on this little quick journey of understanding our conception. The polyvagal nerve becomes the spinal cord, and every nerve grows out from that, which eventually grows our brain first, and then the extremities, and all through until we're developed. And from that time of conception, all the way till about a year and a half to 2 years old, we are primarily right brain beings. Though the left brain is building itself physically, it is not neurologically on until about a year and a half to two, could even be 2.5 years, depending on development of factors. But what a right brain being means is that I am a being. More than babies obviously don't speak a known language. They don't aren't able to communicate other than through crying and body language. Think of the right brain not just as art, creativity, and music. It is those elements. However, think of it even deeper as the beingness. Some would call this the soul. But what it means is that in the right brain, we are literally interpreting data through our body and having an experience. When the left brain comes online, roughly 2 to 2, 1.5, 2.5, where in that range it changes, we have a cultural saying, at least where I grew up, it was called the terrible twos or the tyrannical threes. And it is because the left brain's coming online, and the left brain's job is to make sense, organize, analyze, and learn how to navigate this wonderful wild world through thinking and figuring out. Whereas the right side is about having the experience and almost more like how we see animals, more right brain. They're experiencing. They're not overthinking things so much. And so as we grow, what's intended to happen is the right brain activates, then the left, and we go through different developmental phases, and we create what's called bihemispheric brain activity or bihemispheric brain connections. And through that, this is what we now know in 2025 is the key to having overall optimal health, from physical health, mental health, spiritual health, is that we need to learn how to get the corpus callosum flossing, moving back and forth like this, like I'm demonstrating. We'll go deeper in further episodes around how that happens. But for now, try this on with me to realize that this is a process we all go through. And what happens is as we, especially in our North American lives, where we're highly rewarded for left brain functionality, we become what I lovingly call, with my addiction past and the working with there and everything, I lovingly call a lot of us, I've had this stage as well, a left brain junkie, a way of realizing, wow, I'm unconsciously addicted to thinking and thinking and thinking. And whether I work with CEOs or normal people, not that's a myth, there are no normal people, but mainstream people or severe addiction, whatever constituency of clients it may be, is that theme of realizing we've got to help look at where the brain imbalances exist to help create rebalance. And so as we look at that, one of the famous sayings is neurons that fire together wire together. And that's a very important piece for understanding not only brain-heart coherence, but also being able to reprogram and help ourselves consciously choose. These are things about myself that I realize I wish I didn't do, or I wish I didn't have these kind of thought processes. And these are things about me that I really love and I appreciate, and I want to learn how to have them happen more often. By understanding that neurons that fire together, wire together, is what's called development of our EOS, our emotional operating system. It's a tongue twister, or our emotional operating system. And within that, we want to start to begin to understand that most of us start off with that development I just described in the story. And by the time we're adolescents or early young adults, we've become more or less very left brain operated. And it's not bad. It's not wrong. It's okay. I am guilty as well. I was sort of shepherded or programmed through that in the same way as most of us. However, the price we pay is in this disconnection from the body, which is clinically called disembodiment. We lose touch with our emotions. We lose touch with our heart. We lose touch with maybe what really matters in life. And I know that is a huge common theme I've seen with the leaders I've worked with, where they've had great success and they have more money than they know what to do with, but they've lost a lot of heart and soul on the way, whether that comes at the price of family connections or whether that's, you know, something just within themselves that they feel they've lost themselves. And so a simplified way, and again, to provide hopeful, helpful knowledge here around all of my viewers being able to better understand how they are operating as a human being, a quick distinction around feelings versus emotions. Feelings are etheric. They are electromagnetic. They are more mental. And what I mean by that is I can be feeling sad, but not show it. All right? I can be feeling a lot of things. And this is often called stoicism or rigidity, or there's a number of names we call it in the psychological world. However, the easiest way to think about it is it's more left brain. It's more thinking and sort of knowing, but not really allowing to be felt. And an emotion is when you take a feeling and you let it go in motion. Emotion, energy in motion. And so what I have witnessed in myself and others, and I've to continue to do my own work to help me remember and be able to do what I watch my kiddos do effortlessly, which is express themselves, is that learning how to let feelings become emotions again is one of the key major steps that I see as important for leaders and all humans to be able to really get back into their heart. And as I said in the first segment, know thyself, and the outcome, the byproduct of that, will be leading with heart. Know thyself, lead with heart naturally, not as something you have to try to do. And yet, if we don't want to look at the difference between feelings and emotions, and we don't want to admit that stress, for example, is not this thing out there. Stress is about my own emotional operating system and my ability to relate to external stimulus, whether that is my job, my family, a traffic jam, you know, news that upsets me, whatever it is. The big shift happens when instead of people think of stress as an it outside of themselves, but rather recognize, wow, that experience there is really bringing up a lot for me. I'm going to call it stress, but it is my job to learn how to relate to this experience. Again, whether that is a loved one coming at you or whether it's just a lot of pressure at work. And this shift in consciousness from being the victim of stress as opposed to being able to recognize, wow, if I take the time to actually know myself deeper, learn about how my emotions actually operate, do some work on myself, then I can earn the right to not be so stressed out. Now, please, as I put that loving challenge out to my viewers, I want to also acknowledge I know that the pressures and the intensities are very real, especially at high-level corporate leadership, as well as, I would say, high-level parenting and other forms of leaders we'll talk about in a little bit. So please know, I am not discrediting that. I am not saying it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that it doesn't have a place in all of this. However, I will admit that I have seen it lie in my own lived experience over across the years that when a leader takes the time to know thyself deeper, everything shifts, including the relationship with stress. So from here, what I would like to talk to you guys about is this word courage. Courage comes from the Latin root word cur, C-O-U-R. And guess what it means? Heart. It takes heart to be courageous. Right? When I am courageous, I'm showing heart. So we often think as courage as maybe, you know, fighting the lion, which it does take heart and bravery to that. But I would also say it takes courage as a leader to admit that I'm not perfect, to admit that I too have my own things that I need to work on. It takes courage to be vulnerable. And when courage and vulnerability can weave together, it is some of the most magical expressions of not only leadership, but humanness that I have ever witnessed. So for now, I hope that gives you a good enough understanding of brain-heart coherence, as well as overall quick brain development. One major variable in all of this that I'm describing fits into the realm of something that I call consciousness, which is not just our thoughts, but our feelings, our emotions, our bodily experiences, our relationships. All of this is embedded within that word consciousness. And another major variable that impacts all of us in some way is trauma. So stay tuned, because on the next section of Lead with Heart, we are going to talk about consciousness and trauma and give a better understanding of how those elements play into our development and into how we show up as leaders. So stay tuned here on Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Hi, I'm Dr. Jesse Henson, and I'm inviting you to join me on Lead with Heart, a weekly show on Now Media Television focused on awakening a new kind of leadership, one rooted in embodiment, awareness, and human connection. Every episode of Lead with Heart goes beyond corporate models and surface metrics. We explore how the mind, body, relationships, and culture contribute to transformative leadership. If you're a leader, healer, entrepreneur, or innovator who brings a story of personal evolution, team impact, or leadership beyond the status quo, I'd love to feature you as a contributor. Lead with Heart airs on Now Media Television Networks, the first bilingual medial network in the U.S., and it's also available on Roku TV, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and all major podcast platforms. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Henson, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Hello, and welcome back to Lead with Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Henson. Excited to join you today and share more about understanding what it is to lead with heart and setting the tone for the many episodes ahead of me where I'll be inviting wonderful guests in to go deeper on all these conversations. So far, we've had a chance to look at really what does it even mean to lead with heart. We've had a chance to look deeper into brain-heart coherence as well as overall human development and how we become who we are. This segment, I want to go deeper into this experience of consciousness, and I want to talk about something that, to be honest, is not that fun to talk about. However, as a psychologist and a healer, I believe it is part of my role and my duty is to help us learn how to talk about these things that are often easier to just shove under the rug. So for now, let's start with this experience of where we left off, the idea that vulnerability and courage come together to create some of the most magical experiences of witnessing great changes in a leader that trickles down into the entire ecosystem of not only their professional organizations, but also their families and their personal life. And because this process of learning how to know thyself more deeply requires this essence very akin to vulnerability, yet subtly different enough to warrant its own section to talk about. And the word is surrender. And I chose this word intentionally and carefully in the sense that that is also something I've met up against with people of like, I don't want to surrender. Ugh, I don't like that. And I get why, because most of us have been burned, betrayed, abandoned, let down at some point, and it's very painful. I know I have felt it in my own life too many times, and I've continued to do the work to help heal those parts of myself. But as I've learned, is learning how to surrender is so important to this process. And it does not mean going powerless. It means starting to have not only trust in there is still some good in humanity out there, but also a trust in some version of faith. And that could be any particular religion. I'm supportive of that. It could also just be a notion of some people may call this the universe or consciousness. Having faith that somehow there is the growth opportunity here before me. And it ultimately comes down to this very simple yet often difficult choice. Choose love over fear. it's very human to have fear. We will always have some kind of fear moving through us, even if we can't claim to be fearless. It's part of our neurology. We cannot live without experiencing fear. And yet through our own work, through knowing thyself, we can become more able and more strong in our ability to choose love over fear. And this helps us move more confident and more grounded into the unknown in front of us. Usually the main reason that we have fear is some kind of attachment to a perceived outcome. If I said that, this will happen. If I don't say this will happen. And so on. We all do it. It's okay. It's human. And learning how to release so much attachment to outcome is also a crucial part of learning about leadership. So within this realm of consciousness, I want to offer a very quick map of something that I could go on for hours about, but I will not. It is called the Trinity, and it is not the same Trinity that many of you may think of from certain religious ideas, but a Trinity of the eagle, the shepherd, and the crazy kids. In a quick nutshell, the eagle is the pineal gland. It is the center of our skull, and it's the part of our brain that fires a lot when we're young and gets squished as we get more thought heavy and left brain heavy as we age. But this pineal gland is basically also known in ancient wisdom as the third eye. It is a zoom out button. It is ability to see the bigger picture rather than just be stuck in the ego human experience of something. It is a very invaluable tool, and it is something that we can develop in different practices such as meditation, other forms of embodiment. However, it is something that is given to us by Creator in our creation. It's there, and it's there for a strong reason. So the more the eagle eyes is on, the more the shepherd, which is the closest thing to what you might know as ego, but if you hear me for a few more moments, the shepherd is the part of me that can make choice happen, to choose love over fear, for example, to choose the healthier food for our body over the other one, to choose to do some personal work as a leader in order to become a better leader. This choice point is what I mean when I say shepherd. And what am I shepherding is not only all of the relationships around me and the people I have to deal with, manage, love, whatever version of it may be there, but it's also my own internal crazy kids. Who are the crazy kids, you wonder? These are every neural imprint that I have received since conception, since that little zygotic form of a egg and sperm coming together. My nervous system is being imprinted after imprinted after imprinted. Usually for most of us, it's with a lot of beautiful things, but also some traumatic things. And what happens is when we suffer a trauma, which I'll go into a moment what that really means, we create a neural imprint or we create a stored memory of that pain. And especially if we don't know how to process that or turn feelings into emotions, it sits in us and it festers. And this is what's clinically known as post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Probably have heard that term. I like to believe and promote something called post-traumatic growth disorder, where I've had something tough happen to me and I just can't stop growing from it. It's something that is so important to me to now that I know how awful that was, I can turn that into fertilizer for future growth. And the process of doing that is something that's called sequencing. And in the neuroscience world, what that means is learning how, through different practices and different techniques, to sequence out the trapped energy in the nervous system. And this is something I will definitely go into deeper with my guests on the show as we get into more personal stories. But for now, to just think of sequencing from the scientific language to recognize that each of us, whether we've had developmental or acute traumas or both, we all have some kind of stored up energy, some kind of pressure in us that needs to be sequenced. And when that sequence completes, then as the shepherd, those crazy kids are not so crazy anymore. They start to feel more like friends or support. In other words, there are parts of me that used to pull me. For example, every person I've ever worked with in severe addiction would always tell me when they were clean-headed, I don't know what happens. I don't want to do that. It's like I'm being taken over. And that takeover is the byproduct of post-traumatic stress, of I call trauma residue. And so in learning about all of this, I want to take one last moment to let you guys know quickly the difference between what's often called big T trauma, which is what everyone commonly thinks of as trauma, which is car wrecks, physical or sexual assaults, and other pain to the body, physical pain to the body, accidents of sorts. That's a huge one, and absolutely that deserves to be processed. The one that people don't always recognize or realize may have impact on them is called the little T, or developmental trauma. And this is emotional trauma. This is trauma that happens through attachment, patterns of avoidance, patterns of neglect, patterns of control, ways that a child grows up learning, wow, I'm only valued and loved if I accomplish this, this, and this. I get loved and rewarded for doing good. Another child who maybe does really well no matter what and doesn't get any attention no matter what, neglect. So my humble opinion and loving challenge to all viewers is that at some level, we all do have some kind of trauma. It may not be extreme, physical, acute traumas, but at some level, we've all taken some hits on this road of life where things that are less than perfect happen. And ultimately, that is okay. That is why we're here. That is the learning process that we are all able to move into if we choose to. And that's what I'm encouraging. I do my best to walk the talk and practice this in my own life. And that's the invitation as we launch this show, Lead with Heart, is to really look deeper at how leadership happens and why does it have the challenges that it has? Why am I as a leader, perhaps I always feel on edge or like I have to rein myself in to not attack or go at someone at work, right? I've heard so many stories of that throughout my career of meeting up against bosses that feel tyrannical or things like that. And obviously it doesn't just stop at that one person. The whole community starts to feel that, or it creates disarray. It creates a whole culture where we're forgetting that we're all human beings. Business is not just happening with machines and numbers. Humans, though I know AI is a real thing and it's happening more and more, even within this new reality we're all stepping into, there's still a lot of humanness that needs to be acknowledged and respected and treated as human kindness. And so as we get ready to wrap up this episode and move into what's next, I want to refresh one last quick thing around this notion of consciousness. So if we can go back a little bit and look at how I described, we come into this world and we have these original programs or source codes or original polyvagal nervous system imprints that really just want to be in connection, want to be felt in a sense of community. It is okay and it's human and it happens to all of us that gets traumatized, that gets impacted, that gets hurt. And so as we evolve and we grow into our adulthood and we become leaders, whether that is in the home or in the office or community, as much as we are well-intended, we often still have things in our past that we have not fully made peace with. This impacts our entire consciousness, our entire way of how we see ourselves, the world, and all relationships that we interact with. So in our final segment coming up soon, I'm going to talk about redefining leaders and leadership and being able to move forwards with a lot more consciousness around how we lead. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Hi, I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and I'm inviting you to join me on Lead with Heart, a weekly show on Now Media Television focused on awakening a new kind of leadership, one rooted in embodiment, awareness, and human connection. Every episode of Lead with Heart goes beyond corporate models and surface metrics. We explore how the mind, body, relationships, and culture contribute to transformative leadership. If you're a leader, healer, entrepreneur, or innovator who brings a story of personal evolution, team impact, or leadership beyond the status quo, I'd love to feature you as a contributor. Lead with Heart airs on Now Media Television Networks, the first bilingual media network in the U.S., and it's also available on Roku TV, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and all major podcast platforms. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Welcome back to Lead with Heart. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand anytime. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for bilingual programming 24/7. Prefer podcasts? Listen anytime at www.nowmedia.tv. So, from leadership to personal growth, Now Media TV brings you stories that empower. Welcome back to Lead with Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. This is the final section of the premiere episode of Lead with Heart. In this section, I'm going to dive deeper into redefining leaders and leadership. Drawing from all of the knowledge we've looked at now, from consciousness to trauma to brain-heart coherence to the overall intentionality of what does it mean to lead with heart, I want to wrap things up today and talk first about this notion as I was getting offered this opportunity, which I also give a special shout out. Thank you so much to Now Media TV for this opportunity. What a wonderful team of people. Looking forward to continuing to allow this to unfold. And as I looked at that opportunity to lead with heart and to have this platform, I wanted to first put the notion out that I see leaders as much more than the common colloquial vernacular would suggest, which is corporate CEO leaders, maybe political leaders, and things like this, to really extend this notion of leaders and leadership. As I mean, immediately I thought of parents. I'm a father of quite a handful of kids, and I humbly admit it is a lot to lead, and yet it is so valuable. I started thinking deeper about the ways that I see leaderships within community of even people in my hometown. I know that, you know, we worked in the homeless shelters and helped to lead missions there. I think about obviously the leaders that do run massive companies and to me, doctors are leaders, even lawyers, the way they can lead for justice. So that's one concept I just want to put out there to the viewership and to our population and to people that would consider wanting to become a guest on Lead with Heart, is that let's really expand our minds and our hearts about what leadership is. And rather than just thinking of corporate executives, though they absolutely deserve that title, let's think about what is it that really is leadership. And when I pondered that deeper, I thought about and I think about basically becoming a beacon, becoming some kind of oak tree that people can lean into, some kind of North Star that people can look to help them with their own moral compass, to help them with their own challenges. And so when I sat with that ideas, I decided to do a little bit deeper dive into where are we at right now as a global culture? And if you're not familiar, I bring familiarity to something called the Edelman Trust Barometer. And it has been now 25 years. This global study happens every year. And it looks more deeply at elements of where trust exists in our global society within each country, as well as a meta-analysis of the planet. And when I first began studying this Edelman Trust Barometer was 5 years ago, sort of right at the onset of COVID. And at that point, what I was seeing was that the trust in leaders, especially corporate leaders, was an all-time high. It was on the rise. It was as if government and media leadership was falling apart and CEO leadership was rising. And so I was somewhat saddened, and yet I also admit it inspires me, and I hope it inspires you as well, to realize that this year's Edelman Trust Barometer shows an overall unprecedented decline in employer trust. So sadly, what it means in the last 5 years, not only has government and media trust gone down increasingly, but also now corporate leadership has also joining that same trend. And while I know that sounds that not great news, and it really isn't. However, one thing I've learned as a psychologist and healer is that the way out of the darkness is through it, and the way to use what feels like crap in front of us to turn it into fertilizer. So I know there's a way through this, and I believe it is leading with heart, helping more leaders wake up, helping more leaders step up, helping more leaders know thyself so that they can lead with heart naturally. Because furthermore, the Edelman Trust Barometer also tells us that the fear that leaders are lying to us is higher than ever. It's significant numbers. You can look up the report if you wish to see it yourself, but it's a very powerful statistic to help us understand what are we doing, consciously or unconsciously, accidentally or not, but as a global population of leaders, we're creating a culture where the people we're leading don't trust us, and they feel as if they're going to lie to us. And this is the hardest part, and the one that breaks my heart the most from this clinical research study, is that the fear and the belief that the future generations are going to be better off is worse than ever. Said more clearly, people right now don't really think that the next generation, that means our children, are moving into something better. It means they feel like they're moving into something worse. And for me, as a leader in my home, my family, my community, that's inspiring me to say we really got to step up. So anyone that's watching right now, listening right now, please feel inside of yourself. Notice what's happening. If there's any heart feelings to realize this is where we're at as a global population right now, there's never been a better time to step up and lead with heart. And while we can draw clinical and left brain data from these studies, that's all it is data. What we do with it is the right brain part. And remember what I said in the first section, bihemispheric brain activity is the key to mental, physical, spiritual health. Okay, diet, exercise, all those other things help. But if we're not learning how to do this, which means we take this left brain data from the Edelman Trust Barometer and we say, wow, something needs to change. And rather than looking at other people or other leaders saying, well, maybe they could just do it. Maybe if they would just change, then all these other things would happen. Of course, that's true. But what I wish for and what I'm asking is for each of us to step up and lead with more heart, to step up and know thyself deeper, because I hate to break it to you guys who want a quick, easy fix. That doesn't have to take forever, but it's not necessarily easy, is because we have to be vulnerable. We have to be courageous. We have to actually admit our own humanness, which in a business culture is often quite difficult. It's often challenging because there is such thing as Shark Tank energy and this feeling of if I show any weakness, I will be devoured. And I can't fix that magically on my own. But I do believe and I do have faith that if enough leaders step up and start doing the work and knowing themselves deeper and being more okay with vulnerability, we do start to see a systemic change, which is what's really needed. So I know this last piece here I share comes with some heaviness, and yet I also hope you can feel the faith in it, the hope in it, the idea that there is still time for change and there is still a way forward. And this show, Lead With Heart, intends to be a wonderful platform for us to dive deeper into conversations about that. So before I wrap this final section of this first premiere episode, I wanted to leave everyone with a few practical suggestions around how to begin this process of awakening, of softening and coming into leading with heart. And it's so simple, and yet it has profound impacts and ripple effects in the body. And this is simply called understanding the difference between hard jaw, or what I often call jokingly muzzle mode, versus the soft jaw, surrender mode. Simply by exploring your own jawbone and starting to practice letting a little bit of space happen between the teeth and the lips. I'm not asking you to walk around with, you know, drop jaw dopey, but I'm asking you to try out even just the slightest bit of release of tension from the temporomandibular joint, which the natural state of the jaw is not tight and locked. That is a byproduct of our stress, of our lifestyle, of our left brain addiction to sort of being in our mind all the time. Once we soften the jaw, it is not a magical wand woo-woo fix. It is a neuroscientifically grounded approach to begin to unlock the parasympathetic and polyvagal nervous system. Think of it almost as a key that at least fits in the door that unlocks it. There's more that we have to do to really earn back our true state of calm and connected and all of that. However, just by softening the jaw little by little, we start to open our nervous system as well as our consciousness, our minds, and our thought forms as to that whole process. So that's my invitation, is just explore it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take all the science behind's word for it. Play with it yourself. See if you can study and experience and explore what happens when I soften my jawbone more often. Try it if you're a parent, when you're dealing with your kids and you're maybe feeling stressed or angry, a breath out of the mouth. Same thing applies, obviously, to business leadership. You're working with someone on feedback or whatever it is. See what happens. And my hope and my wish is you start to experience just a little bit of the gateway into this whole wonderful wild world of neuropsychology and understanding trauma and in the body and the brain body and all these wonderful concepts we've touched on. And that's my loving challenge and wish that you guys play with something to just begin to open up your own experience of deeper understanding beyond just listening to my words and taking in knowledge, but to begin to play with experience and earn some wisdom through that process. Because when things like this can happen, it's one example of a little bit of vulnerability when we just soften our jawbone. Because what all this brings us to is a place where when the heart is allowed into the office and we can recognize that we all do work better together, a magical thing happens. That leadership with heart, through knowing thyself as a leader, you begin to naturally show up differently at work, at the office. And that is what I've witnessed. And though I am not a corporate leader, I've been a leader in many different arenas. And I humbly admit that. And I humbly admit that sometimes I've had something going on, having a bad day, and I accidentally take it out on someone who doesn't deserve it. I also know that I've been impacted impacted people in many beautiful ways when I come in and I'm in great spirits and I own my true self and who I am, and it immediately positively impacts everyone in the space. And I think that that's the way to wrap up this final section here, is to say that through interpersonal psychoneurobiology, understanding the interpersonal relational field and how we impact each other is a great gateway to inspire us to become a more conscious, heart-centered leader. So thank you so much for joining me for this first episode of Lead with Heart. I'll be continuing soon with deep conversations with other wonderful guests as we continue to blend strategy and soul. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. Thanks so much for joining me on Lead with Heart. We'll see you next time.